Just as Arab broadcasters know that people stay in during Ramadan, American broadcasters assume that people go out on Saturday night. Once a night for testing offbeat and experimental shows, now Saturday is a wasteland of reruns, movies, and college football. Mitch Metcalf is NBC's executive vice president of scheduling. He says that in the cutthroat world of TV real estate, you build your best hotels where or when you can charge the most rent.
If Thursday is Boardwalk, Saturday is Baltic Avenue, it's the lowest viewed night of the week. And most advertisers like to reach people before the weekend, before big buying decisions are made. That's why Thursday is so popular. By Saturday night, a lot of those decisions have been made and viewers have lives. And Saturday night is the night they tend to give television a rest.
If you look at the NBC schedule for October 8th, which I have here, there were three consecutive reruns of My Name is Earl, followed by a rerun of Law and Order, Special Victims Unit. Is it fair to say that everyone has virtually given up on Saturday?
Well, given up is an interesting term. We never want to say we give up. But
how about surrender?
Maybe a little closer. We have a very limited number of original episodes to program. We have to prioritize the nights. Saturday, it turns out, is the night that gets left out.
But you do make the point then very well that Saturday seems to have been transformed into a night for promoting the schedule the rest of the week.
Exactly. It's a night for, as we fondly say, repurposing. Using repeats of original episodes. And there's a phenomenon called stacking, and that's putting the same program right after another on Saturday. We also did it with a new show called Surface after the first 2 weeks of the season. And what you see whenever you stack a program is that the ratings tend to build. Whoever you can get at 8 o'clock tends to stick around because they're already invested and already watching, and they can catch more of that particular episode.
And if you build the stack high enough, it becomes a marathon.
Exactly.
So what do you do on a typical Saturday night?
I have a lovely date with my wife. It's a night of rest for a television programmer.
Mitch Metcalf is executive vice president for program planning and scheduling at NBC Entertainment. According to the Associated Press, the Saturday night network TV audience has plummeted nearly 40% in the last 5 years. Stephen Stark, author of Glued to the Set, the 60 television shows and events that made us who we are today, says that those who do stay home on Saturday night are largely older, more rural, and poorer than the demographic advertisers now chase. But there was a time, says Stark, when a Saturday night show could corral an audience and advertisers.
Gunsmoke ran on Saturday nights. Gunsmoke was a show that appealed more to rural viewers and poorer viewers, as Westerns did. Bonanza actually premiered on Saturday night. But once they found that they could get a bigger audience with it, that it might transcend the night, so to speak, they moved it to Sunday nights at 9, and then it was the huge hit it was in the mid-60s.
So you're saying that Saturday night has never served up cutting-edge TV, but it did have its own golden age from 1971 to 75. There was All in the Family. That was the number one show in the country on Saturday at 8 o'clock.
Gee, our old lass now ran great. Those were the days.
Why did that show work in that time slot?
Well, it was very much by accident on CBS. All in the Family with Archie Bunker, created by Norman Lear, was not much of a hit in its first season when it was on during the week, although it was enormously controversial because could you make a joke out of bigotry? They moved it to Saturday nights at 8, and it got a tremendous audience. But remember, by and large, because the overwhelming number of viewers for that show were more conservative. They agreed with everything he was saying.
Didn't crawl out from under no rocks. We didn't have no tails. We didn't come from monkeys, you atheistic pinko meathead.
Okay, but then it was followed by MASH and by Mary Tyler Moore and the Bob Newhart Show and Carol Burnett. Certainly MASH isn't going to appeal to people who may, I think you're suggesting, be more embracing of the kind of message that Archie Bunker offered.
Well, that's very true. What happened is that Archie Bunker began to draw liberals as well, people who would actually stay home on Saturday nights to watch him, and they built a schedule around him. Actually, somebody wrote right when Mary Tyler Moore came on in the early 70s that she was so in, actually, that it has become especially fashionable to drift into the den at a party or even go home at 9 on a Saturday because you simply must not miss the program. It became must-see viewing, very much like what NBC did in the 80s and 90s on Thursday nights with Seinfeld and Cheers and things like that. And that golden age of Saturday night programming essentially lasted for the better part of a decade. But then in the 80s and 90s, Saturday night reverted to its usual graveyard status. It's not that the shows didn't draw an audience. Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, was an enormously popular show, as was The Love Boat, as was Fantasy Island. But the kind of viewers, again, those shows tended to draw were not the kind that advertisers tend to like because they want younger viewers. They tend to be more susceptible to advertising than older people who are more set in their ways.
And so ditto for the Golden Girls in the 80s and Touched by an Angel in the 90s, you'd say.
They fit the pattern exactly.
But they did manage to create a space for attractive, well-heeled younger viewers in the 1970s. So why couldn't that happen again?
Well, the networks, first of all, are much more risk-averse because it's a much more cutthroat industry. Having said that, if I were a network executive, everybody's doing one thing, I might try to run a risque show on Saturday and see if I might be able to attract something of an audience. But it would be hard to get advertisers interested in it in the beginning. Some of the biggest hits in the history of television, whether we're talking about Roots or All in the Family and Mary Tyler Moore, attracted an audience because they were willing to try things in a different way, usually, by the way, on the network that it was in last place at the time. When they first went to the networks with Roots, the reason why ABC ran it and the other two wouldn't touch it is they were in third place. And the producer of Roots went to the head of the network and said, look, you're in third place. If Roots doesn't work, you'll still be in third place. So for the network where things aren't working, it might be worth a try.
Okay, Stephen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Stephen Stark is a cultural critic whose books include Glued to the Set and his latest, Meet the Beatles.
Hello?
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Tony Field, Jamie York, and Mike Volo. And edited by Brooke. Dylan Keefe is our technical director and Jennifer Munson, our engineer. We had help from Katie Holt and Kevin Schlottman, our webmaster. He's Amy Pearl.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer and John Keefe, our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. This is On the Media from WNYC. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. The W.K. Kellogg Foundation, from vision to innovative impact, 75 years of philanthropy. And the Charles Stuart Mott Foundation, online at mott.org, supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable and sustainable society. Support from the media comes from the Bidell Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.